Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
And welcome to a special mini free-for-all Friday episode of the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. I don't know how the audio quality is going to turn out on this. I am hoping all right. At the very least, I have my ace sound engineer, Nick Chamberlain, who is a whiz at fixing this stuff. I am recording live from, well, I guess not live for you all, but I'm recording on location at Chicago's Midway International Airport. I'm here on a layover right now, heading to Indianapolis outside to Carmel, Indiana, where I'm going to speak at a parish tonight, Friday. Oh gosh, what day is it? The worst is when I'm traveling and I get off in an airport and I say, what state am I in? Friday, July 26th, I'll be speaking tonight at a parish at in Carmel, Indiana. The next day, I'll be speaking at a camp for a Frassati Catholic youth group. So I'm super excited about that. And the reason, of course, I'm recording on location is because I wanted to offer you guys a little free-for-all Friday funness. And of course, everything's been backlogged and caught up with me this week. It was that communist article. I was just so, I couldn't believe that America Magazine had the audacity to publish first just a piece that's sympathetic to communism, one of the church's sworn enemies. It's so, you to read the horrors of what communists have unleashed against the church over the past 100 years, it really makes one wonder. So I had to make a response. So I've actually finished a 2,500-word response co-authored with Catherine Pakalik, my co-author for Why Catholics Can't Be Socialists. It'll be coming out in spring. That'll appear in Catholic Answers print magazine probably in a few months. A shorter version of that piece is going to be available on Catholic Answers magazine online hopefully soon. I don't know when. But if you are a subscriber to the podcast, if you give as little as $5 a month to TrentHornPodcast.com to make the podcast possible, you can go and read the full unabridged article for yourself there. I actually just sent it out to our subscribers to be able to go and check that as a special bonus for you. Also, if you're a subscriber, you can go. I have a poll at TrentHornPodcast.com. I know you guys have enjoyed the dialogue episodes. We've talked about atheism, pro-life, sola scriptura. There's a lot of other neat topics down the line that I want to get to, and other guests I'm inviting that I hope will join me on the podcast. And just like when I started the podcast a year and a half ago, I'm learning, you know, how to make it work. I'm learning as I go. This is all trial by error, ladies and gentlemen. And I think I've learned a lot on how to get the podcast working. But now with the dialogue episodes, you know, inviting people on to come and talk. Sorry, I'm bouncing up and down in my seat. I'm on one of those gangway walkways overlooking the tarmac. And I think every time a plane goes by, it kind of shakes everything. But if you can't tell and hear that I'm in an airport, well, that just shows Catholic Answers bought me some pretty decent microphone equipment. People have liked the dialogues. I want to keep them going. I'm learning how to do them, and I'm just starting out. And it's, you know, guesswork to see what works and what doesn't. One thing I'm trying to figure out is the length of the episode. Sometimes I feel like, well, should I keep it to 30 minutes like every other Council Trent episode? Should they be longer because dialogues lend themselves to being longer? Should I split them up into part one, part two? I have a poll going on right now at TrentHornPodcast.com where you can vote. If you're a patron, you can vote there, and I may move the poll to other social media where you can vote. Do you want the dialogues to be 30 to 40 minutes, 40 to 60 minutes, or do you want them jumbo 60 to 90 minutes long? One of them is winning here with another at a close second. I'll reveal that maybe later next week. But I love people's feedback. I love knowing what works for the podcast, what's not working, so I can grow and I can offer you something that really benefits you and helps you to build up your faith. And I am doing my darndest to continue my focus and concentration here because I'm off to the side here, the walkway at Midway. Midway's an interesting airport. I've been to O'Hare several times in Chicago, but I haven't been to Midway a lot. And O'Hare is bigger, but Midway feels a lot nicer, actually. It's crisp when you walk around and see everything. And I think it's because it's basically the Southwest Airlines airport. So go and check that out at TrentHornPodcast.com to be able to either vote on how long you want the dialogue episodes to be. And if you're a patron, you can get access to my refutation with Catherine Pakalik refuting American Magazine's article, The Catholic Case for Communism. So what I want to talk about today on Free for All Friday, I was sitting on the plane thinking what would be interesting to share both from my personal life and something that might be beneficial and practical for you all who are listening. And I thought of this. Before I was a Catholic apologist, I was a pro-life missionary. So I used to travel the country. I would go to university campuses and debate people on abortion and train other students. And that really provided the groundwork, the foundation for me to do what I do as an apologist. I really got my chops in doing pro-life work on college campuses. And I was a pro-life missionary. And I'm grateful for that. And one thing I'm really grateful for when I did that were the people who gave to support my work. The organization I work for, Justice for All, used a support-raising program to allow us to go to campuses and do this. They couldn't just pay me a salary to go out on campus. Instead, they taught me how to raise my own financial support to do this missionary work. And I'm grateful to them, and I'm grateful to my previous supporters, some of whom are still following my work and listen to my podcast. I mean, I was doing that, gosh, probably about, it's been over 10 years. It was over 10 years ago I started doing that. And I've kept in touch with some of my supporters from way back then have been in touch with me and are really proud to see where everything's gone since then. And without them, you probably would not have Trenthorn Catholic Apologist today. So big thank you to them. And what I wanted to share with you all was how to do this. How do you raise support? Because maybe you want to do mission work or you know someone. I'm not saying you have to go to the ends of the earth. You might want to do something domestic. I know a lot of young college students might be listening to this. They might want to choose to work for FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. They use a similar support raising platform. You have to raise your own financial support to do a year or 2 years. Maybe you want to do something limited. Maybe you want to go on a mission trip to Central America or Latin America, and you want to go for 6 weeks, but you want to raise money to be able to do that and have a team of people who don't just financially support you, they support you with prayer and emotional support for the big endeavor that you're taking on. And that's how support raising works. So what I want to do is just give you, once again, making sure I don't miss my layover, because if I miss it to do this podcast, I will be in big trouble. People will not be happy. Oh my goodness, my computer actually, it changed its clock. One of the hardest things about flying, everybody, is keeping track of time. My phone changes with the local time zone, but if I'm running off my computer clock, I can easily miss my next plane I'm supposed to get on. But nope, I am still good. I do not have to get there just yet. So we can chat a little bit about this before I get on my plane. So how support raising works, you've got a team of people who pledge to give either a one-time gift or a monthly gift for you to do some kind of mission work, or it could be some kind of other project you're working on. But usually it's geared towards a missionary appeal. I'm going to do a particular kind of work to help people. I need financial support, and it's going to be for 6 weeks or 6 months, or it could be something you do forever. I don't advise asking people to give to you forever. A finite commitment of, can you give for a year or 2 years? And if people really like it, then sometimes they want to continue doing that and make that part of their charitable contributions. So what I did was I went out and got support to do my pro-life work, and I told people, I'm going to travel the country for 2 years with Justice for All, going to university campuses. I want to go to 40 or 50 campuses. I want to train students, and I want to spread the pro-life message to this vulnerable group, people who are often very pro-choice, often thinking of having abortions, and get them to change their minds and be pro-life. And I need your help to do that. So here is how I did that. And if you want to do similar missionary work, this model may be helpful for you as well. So first, what did I do? I believed in what I was doing. A lot of people hate asking people for money. You know, you do a mission work or you're doing a nonprofit and there's a fundraiser. I mean, give me anything. It'd be selling raffles for your kid's Catholic school. And you go up to people and you say, I hate asking for money, but, or, oh, I hate to do this to you. Don't do that. If you feel bad about doing it, you shouldn't do it in the first place. You shouldn't do it. I used to feel bad asking people for money. The thing I felt bad about was I asked them for money to give them shoes they didn't really need. I used to sell women's shoes at Macy's, and I sold these $500 Via Spiga boots for people who confided in me that they had low self-esteem and needed these to feel better about themselves. And I felt like a bad person because I took their money and I got a 7% commission on those boots. And then one day I felt like the devil and I went to my boss and I said, I can't do this anymore. And I quit. So if you feel bad or you're embarrassed, you shouldn't be asking for the money. But if you really believe in what you're doing, if you believe it's helping people, then you should be excited. You're sharing an opportunity with them. And that even if they don't believe in it as well, or they don't agree, or they're not able to help right now, that's okay. Because at the very least, you got to tell them about something amazing you're doing. And that's worth it in its own right. So the first step is you got to believe in what you're offering to people, and that you're not selling them something. You're not trying to get money. You're getting partners. You're getting people who genuinely believe in what you're doing. You're building a team to go out and do a lot of good work here in the world. And you know, I'm going to get louder and louder, and as people walk by, maybe I'll get a little crowd and I'll do a motivational talk here at Midway. So that's what you need. Don't feel bad about that. Next, when you're excited and you want to do it, make a list of every single person you know. Make a list. I don't care who they are. If they're your great aunt, they're your dentist, anybody you know them. You know them in some, even a very shallow way. Make a list and make a huge list in an Excel spreadsheet. I remember doing this back in 2008. I made a big list, and then I wrote out a letter. I wrote out a letter to everyone, a handwritten letter, not just an email, but I wanted them to have a physical letter for them to be able to read. So I spent a little bit of upfront money to do this. I remember the moment. I had all the letters out in front of me on my bedroom floor, getting ready to put the stamps on them. And I turned on the TV, and President George W. Bush, 43, W, gets on the TV. "Ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing a financial crisis like our nation has never seen before. We need strategery to beat this." It was the Great Recession started. And I heard the president say that, and I'm like, oh man, now it just got really hard. But I was still able to persevere through and get that. So you make out letters, but first, even before you write the letters, though, of course, you got to count the cost. Jesus said, if you build a tower, no one builds a tower unless he counts the cost first. So what is it you want to do? Let's say you want to do a year's worth of missionary work. You need to figure out, and hopefully, ideally, you should work with a nonprofit so that someone can make a tax-deductible donation to you, and they can handle the tax end and the financial stuff, so you're not in trouble with the IRS. Let's say you have to raise, I remember when I did my pro-life missionary work, I raised, I think, $30,000 a year as my salary. I needed $30,000 a year to do what I was doing. So I divided that up, and I think that came out to about 100 people who gave, on average, $25 a month. That's what I needed, 100 people who would give $25 a month. So I set a little percentile goal. Every person who pledged either $25 a month or $300 a year, I was 1% towards the goal, and I kept track of that percentile meter. So that was the goal. And so I realized, okay, I got to send out the letters. If I need 100 people who will give $25 a month, that means I'm probably going to have to talk to about 200 or 300 people, you know, 300 people probably, to get the people who are going to say yes. Which, by the way, if you want people to support what you're doing, you have to put yourself in the shoes of Trent, who not only, the same thing happened to me when I was discerning marriage and then raising financial support for my pro-life work. You have to get shot down a lot before the right one comes along, and which I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful all the wrong ones shot me down, so I'm with the right one today in my vocation of marriage. But the point is, you cannot take rejection personally, that you're going to offer this to people, they're going to say no. When I used to be in sales, whenever I would hear a no, I say, okay, I'm that much closer to you, a yes. You got to get through 9 no's before you get to the yes. And that's okay, because once again, you're not doing anything wrong. You're offering them an opportunity. If they decline, you still got to share with them something really good you're doing. And hopefully, at the very least, they'll pray for what you're doing. And that's really a valuable thing to have. So then I would go out. I sent out the letters to everybody that I knew, and I kept this spreadsheet on my target goal. 100 people giving $25 a month, committed for a year. And I kept a ranking system based on what people, their interest for follow-ups. I ranked it from 1 to 5. So a 5 was they declined. They said no. Okay. You know, don't approach them again, but thank them for hearing me out. 4 was did not reply, didn't get an answer. Maybe follow up 2 more times. If I still don't get a reply, if they're just ignoring me, turn them into a 5. A 3 is somebody who says, I'd like to know more. I want to hear more about this. So either maybe I'll do a follow-up phone call, or ideally, I'll do an in-person meeting and sit down with that person and say, here's what I want to do. I'd like you to be a part of it. And so those are 3s. You want to get people in 3s to be able to do that. If they say yes, if they say, yeah, I want to do this, they get moved to a 2. And then finally, once they have pledged, they have sent in a check or they have logged in and they've made a financial contribution, like it's actually they've made a, because people will say yes and then maybe they forget. So they stay at a two. They only get to a one once they've been locked in. So you might want to give a little gentle reminder like, hey, I know you're really excited about this. You wanted to help me. Just wanted to follow up to see if you had any other questions about making a donation. And that's the ranking system that I would use, not to rank, like some people are more important than anyone else, but it's just really, it's a way of organizing. One thing I learned, the most important thing when you're fundraising or support raising is being organized. A disorganized person is not going to do well. And you also have to balance when you're, the methods you use to reach people, because there, here's the trade-off. A method that has a wide appeal has a very low return. And methods that have high returns have very, they're not very wide. So for example, if you send someone an email, will you give financially to what I'm doing? There's like a 0.02% chance they're going to say yes. But if you sit down in person with someone to ask them, there's like a 25% chance they'll say yes. But here's the thing, you could send out, in theory, thousands of emails. So if you send out tens of thousands of emails, you could get the same, in that one click, the same as it takes, the time it takes to go and meet with one person. So, and then it's the same thing that, that phone calls are better than letters, physical letters are better than emails. Phone calls are better than letters and in-person meetings are better than phone calls. And you want to have as many face-to-face interactions with people. Another great thing you can do is to give a presentation at your parish or at a youth group or at a mom's group or a Knights of Columbus meeting. Go give a presentation. Tell them, hey, here's the great thing I want to do and I'm looking for support. And in a room of, you know, 30 people, odds are there'll be three people who want to help you, 10% conversion there, and then you've met people, and they can introduce you to others. Let's see. Oh, see, that was the alarm that I set to not miss my layover, but I'm doing okay. I still got about 5 minutes left, so I think we'll be all right. What else did I want to cover with that? So just remember, I'm not giving you some kind of method to pull one over on people. This is. I've been in sales, but I don't consider support raising sales. I consider it partnering to share good, holy things with people, to make them partners, a team, to work together to do the Lord's work. And if you really believe in it, you won't feel bad asking them, hey, you might not be able to go volunteer with me. You might not be able to, you know, go with me in the things that I do, but you can make it possible through your support. Whether it's, and like I said, even if they can't give financially, if they can pray, those prayers are powerful. You want that. And then once people have supported you and you're doing this, remember what I said about organization, you want to have follow-up. You want to be able to follow up with people and thank them for their gifts. And, that's why we try to do that on the Patreon. So if, you know, you guys don't get something, you don't hear from us, please let me know. I try to check in on that to make sure everything's going all right there with everything that we're juggling. But you want to follow up with people when you're doing that. I remember actually, and also not just to thank them, which you should, but to show them that their support is making the really good things happen, that, hey, you've made this possible. Thank you. Here is the return on your investment. Here's the spiritual fruit that you're reaping. I remember once that Laura and I, we were supporting a missionary, and we prayed about it, and we decided we had to decline. We could not continue supporting this missionary. And it was for two very different reasons. Laura was not super happy that we weren't thanked. He didn't send us any thank you or acknowledgement of our gift. But she said, well, you know, that's unfortunate, but, you know, we would still give. But she really didn't like, hey, you're not grateful at all. I mean, she would have still continued supporting, obviously, even if we hadn't gotten that. But still, it's a courtesy. But more what concerned me and also concerned her was we never got any follow-ups to know how the mission work was going. We didn't get any follow-ups. We didn't hear back. We tried to reach out. We didn't hear back. And then eventually we found out that he had stopped doing his missionary work and never told his supporters. And I think their donations were just going to other missionaries. He never told them. So when you don't provide that to people, if you don't keep them in the loop, then you're not being a good steward of the gifts that they're giving you. And that's important to do. So I hope this is helpful for you guys. I know this is more of a mini episode today, but I'm on the go. I'm on the run. I hope that whatever you're doing, whether you're considering giving to missionary work, giving to groups like Catholic Answers, Council of Trent Podcast, whoever it is, to offer not just financial support, but your prayers for the work that we're doing. And if you want to do this stuff, really pray about it and see if you're in the right place to do it. Find counsel from other people who have done this as well and offer up to God. just say, Lord, I really want to do this and do good, and I'm trusting you to bring people into my life who will support me in this endeavor, and just to follow his will as you do that. So I hope this has been a little helpful insight to you all, give you a little tidbits in my past, present, and future. And now I got to get on my plane. So say a little prayer for me as I head out to Indiana, and looking forward to speaking with you all on future episodes next week. Take care, guys, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.